We're here with Marina Allen on tour with SG Goodman, and I'm DJ Shovit.
I'm DJ Slizzy. It's so wonderful to be here with you, Marina.
Thanks for having me.
And we were thinking about how to describe, you know, the people that we're interviewing, whether it's singer, songwriter, folk, indie, and we thought we would just let you kind of introduce yourself.
Oh God. It's hard for me to answer, but I guess the umbrella thing is folk, essentially, and then from there it gets more niche. But if I was like talking to like my grandma, I would say folk, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. How would you describe it to somebody who wasn't your grandma?
I guess I would say, I mean, it really is singer-songwriter, but that conjures the image of just so many bad associations. Mm-hmm. And so, but it is really, I'm really a singer-songwriter. So I would say like folk singer-songwriter. I one time was described as kind of like prog psych. I don't know. What would you guys say?
I'm so bad at defining genres, but you're our folk director at KZSC, so.
I am our folk director, and people are coming up to me all the time, is this folk?
Yeah,
is this folk?
Yeah.
And for me, it's just sort of a feeling.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think what you do is, like, very expansive, mm-hmm. and I don't see a negative connotation mm-hmm. with singer-songwriter.
That's
yeah.
good.
I think it just means, like, you're absolutely creative.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. That's very sweet. I like that perspective. I'm going to take that on.
Plus, I think that it's kind of, sometimes it's an oversimplification.
Yeah.
Some of your songs are more folksy. Some of them focus more on other aspects mm-hmm. of, I don't know, music genres. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Genres are so arbitrary.
Yeah, they really are. As a whole, how's tour been? I know that you're on this tour with SG Goodman. We were at the Troubadour yesterday.
Now at the Troubadour.
We're at Café du Nord.
Café du Nord tonight.
You're in Canada, is that? Or you were just in Europe?
I was just in the UK and Europe, and that was amazing. That wasn't with SG Goodman. And yeah, the SG Goodman tour is the Southwest, and we go up to Denver. And then after that, I have a month off, and then I go with Andy through the East Coast, Canada, and Europe again. So,
hello.
Yeah. But it's been great, you know. I think I was a little apprehensive before all these tours because as a supporting act, you know, there's a lot of dialogue around this right now, but it's pretty hard to make money. So it was scary, I think. But once I got going, I think I found my groove in tour. And I really like the fact that you wake up and have a little mission. You know, you just have to get to the venue and then play a show, and then the next day comes. And yeah, I find like I'm not as anxious on tour because it's just such a present moment to moment. You know, the obstacles come and you just like address them as they come up rather than like your normal day-to-day life, which is complicated. It feels less complicated to be on tour.
That's so interesting. I always imagined that tour would be such a stressful and draining thing, which I know
yeah.
you didn't say that it's
yeah.
not.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a beautiful way to look
yeah,
at it.
Yeah, I think I just have been feeling really grateful. And I think also when you kind of step out of your day-to-day life, you start to be able to have more space around who you are, you know, and it's been fun to kind of explore that more, I guess, or just have the space to not be with the same people every day in the same house in the same city, and just kind of, I feel like I'm like 18 again.
It's kind of an important aspect of evolving as a
yeah.
musician, which I think is interesting. And kind of more in that evolution is kind of, when did you start making music? What was that process like? I know you had some friends in the crowd that you grew up with. Like, did they always know
Aww.
That you'd be a musician? Did it spring upon
yeah.
you as a surprise?
I mean, I've been in, I grew up partially in New Jersey until I was 10. Then my family moved out to the Bay Area. And when we lived out east, we were, you know, I grew up in kind of like a conservative town, and church was a big community gathering. My family wasn't religious, you know, like we didn't pray at home, but church and choir was very much a part of my childhood, and I've been singing since I could talk, basically, and I really, yeah, and then when I moved to the Bay, I was older, and I was a part of just school choirs, and music, I think, has always been what felt the easiest to me, but it took a while for me to bloom into a songwriter. I always think of myself as a late bloomer. I started writing songs maybe in high school, but they were kind of, you know, all these half songs and probably really terrible. And then I didn't really get serious with it until later, until I was like after I graduated college. But I thought that I was going to kind of go down more of an academic route. In undergrad, I studied a lot of avant-garde music and thought I was going to turn that way, like Meredith Monk and, yeah, experimental vocalists. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just started, or I moved to LA, and I started really writing songs all of a sudden. And that just kind of was pulling me through life for a while. It's very recent until I fully accepted or, you know, identify as a songwriter. I would say in the past, like, 4 years, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years, yeah.
We wanted to ask you more about your songwriting process. I think we're both really blown away by your lyricism. It's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And we noticed, like, some biblical references,
yeah,
especially in some of the
Bush.
New songs you played tonight.
Mm-hmm.
How do you sort of carry your experiences through with you in your songwriting?
Mm-hmm.
And also just, you're just starting to identify as a songwriter. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
I think it's sort of like an attitude or an approach, and I think I didn't feel like I deserved to think of myself as that, or I didn't think that I was like imposter syndrome or something. And it felt like I was lying or something, or like there was like a pretension around it, or I wasn't who I was saying I was. And, you know, I think all of that kind of burns itself out eventually. You just do it so much and so often and play X amount of shows that you're like, okay, I really am this, you know, I am doing this. So there's like evidence now, I guess, and I have 2 records out. And before that, you know, I had another record, but it was just on my Bandcamp. So yeah, I've been doing it for a while, and there's more like proof, I guess, which is kind of funny to need the proof, but I think that's just, you know, any body of work showcases something, and yeah, so that's the vague answer. But the biblical stuff, yeah, I mean, I've gotten that a lot with Smokebush specifically. It's not like necessarily a conscious Moses like exploration, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of came up naturally. That song's actually about kind of like codependency. And yeah, that song is really dear to me. I remember exactly where I was when I wrote it, and it was just this melodic line, and it kind of came out pretty quickly, and I just jotted it down on a voice memo. So I always think of that when I'm playing it stripped down, because it's very much just exactly how you hear it live. I mean, the recording is produced differently. Yeah, it just kind of was all these visual images, and that song specifically. I remember I had this whole kind of like movie that was like going on while I was writing it. So in a way, it's kind of like me as a character. It's not necessarily me. And maybe that's why there's like a biblical thing going on or something.
I'm unpacking it right
now.
Yeah, right,
yeah,
now.
This is live, by the way, yeah.
It's hard to kind of think these grand ideas about what you're producing or creating, especially when you're, you know, thinking about your musical inspirations or things that
mm-hmm.
you're trying to accomplish. But I think DJ Slizzy and I have been fans since the beginning. I mean,
oh,
yeah,
that's so sweet.
I discovered
How did you guys find it?
I listened to a lot of folk music. We both do.
Mm-hmm.
And once Sylvie started releasing music,
mm-hmm.
I was like, whose voice is this?
Oh, yeah.
And
Thank
so
you.
I didn't know about your Bandcamp, your first record,
yeah.
but been there since the beginning of your Spotify.
Oh, that's
and
very
so when
sweet.
We saw that you were performing, I made our friend the rock director like email your people and set it up.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I found your music through Shove It.
Yeah.
You played Marina on your show, I think.
Oh, yeah. I put you on my radio show.
And I remember texting you about you and saying, this person is so beautiful.
Yeah. That's actually maybe I did a show that was like calm music. Mm. And it was during earlier in the pandemic. And I think that was around when Sylvie started creating music, which we actually wanted to ask about, like collaboration with other artists. And, you know, obviously that's a part of the music that you release because you have released music with Sylvie. But in terms of the way that your career has progressed, do you enjoy collaborating with other artists? Has that been something that you feel has furthered your progress as a musician or been fulfilling?
Yeah, I mean, I think as primarily, you know, I'm a songwriter, but I usually assume that when someone wants to collaborate with me, they want me to sing something. So as a singer, it's really fun. I love singing other people's music. It's something that's how I learned how to sing, aside from training and choir and music classes. It was a lot of just listening to other singers and imitating them, you know, just like a guitarist would do that with like a lick or something. So it's always really fun for me to try that on. I mean, Sylvie specifically is my ex-boyfriend's project. So it was, I just was fulfilling, you know, his dream basically and helping him with that. And
well, now you have your own career. And at the end of your set, I leaned over and I was like, she's gonna get big.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So
thank you.
But yeah, do you have any other artists that you feel like you'd enjoy collaborating with, or do you typically enjoy more the process of writing your own songs and singing things that you've kind of written for your own voice?
Yeah, I mean, I think like with anything, you could daydream all day, but as soon as you're in a room with someone, it's like a specific chemistry that's happening, and it's either there or it's not, you know, and everything could, it's like dating or something. It's like everything could line up on paper, but then in person, there's just no X factor, or for whatever reason, your joke doesn't land, or just your vibe isn't there. So, but I, today even, was on the road with my friend from high school who's with me and designed all my merch, and we were listening to this project called Dear Nora.
Love Dear Nora.
Yeah, they're amazing. Katie's amazing. I'm kind of like a fangirl, but sometimes I lie and say that they're my friend.
And, I'll edit this so it sounds like they're best friends.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, I would love to, you know, write with someone like that, or, you know, just be more playful in the studio. I think there's a preciousness right now in a lot of music that is kind of a drag, and I think Katie does an amazing job at kind of poking a hole, and there's so much room in that hole. It was just so inspiring today listening to the record. I mean, I've listened to it so many times, but just hearing it again, and just, there's really, like, for me, it's like we're hungry for that kind of energy, or at least I am. So I would love to collaborate with them.
We'll see, one day maybe. Maybe they'll listen to our college radio show.
Yeah. Honestly, maybe. I don't know what they're mysterious.
We have 20,000 watts. You never know who it's reaching.
There we go.
Is it ever hard for you to perform older songs or songs that you wrote a long time ago? It seems like your music is, I mean, I'm sure everyone's music is so tied to their personhood, but I can imagine that would be difficult.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, it is hard for me. I think a lot of times I feel like there are songs that I play that feel very like innocent, or they feel really kind of immature, or they feel tied to this time in my life that I'm kind of over. And that's why I love just playing new material. You know, technically this is my Centrifix tour, but I don't like that. I don't like that about touring. I want to just play what I want to play. And, you know, you're not actually forced to do that. But, I mean, by the time you release the record, it's been like a couple years since you wrote the song, generally, or like a year at least. And I think we're always writing better songs. Like Sleeper Train, even though people really like that song, I find it to be annoying. I find it to be kind of one-dimensional.
It's like people asking Joni Mitchell to play Big Yellow Taxi.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not to Yeah. Yes. It's exactly like that. Actually, I was going to bring that up. No. Yeah, I don't know. I just think, you know, it's like anything. It's like when you read an old diary entry or something and you're like, there's this kind of like cringe feeling. But it's also like I can be compassionate to that part of myself. And people really resonate with it, you know? And they don't, I'm projecting a lot more than the person listening to is experiencing, I would say. So, yeah.
Oh, just that's such a strange dichotomy, though. I feel like I don't think about how even by the time the new album comes out, it's not new to you anymore at all. Yeah. And there's this expectation of playing things that nobody else has heard live, but for you, it's old news.
Yeah. I love that we can hear the band.
I know.
I wanted to ask about your new songs, too.
Yeah.
There was the line, shove it, in one of your new songs, shove a lark, something of a lark in the attic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, that's my DJ name. But also, I loved that song. We were kind of speculating that it was about L.A.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's definitely that intertwined. It's actually my new album is kind of just starting. Well, I kind of am in the middle of writing it. And it's about Nebraska, where my mom's from. So it's about, I mean, I don't really have the words for it fully yet, or the thesis necessarily, but what it feels like it's about is, that song specifically, is like exploring, I kind of like challenged myself with, my grandpa ran this radio show actually. And I kind of had this weird idea to write a song that he would play on the radio.
That's so sweet.
Like, it was like, kind of like wanting it to feel like this old song. I mean, and I think always challenging yourself with little prompts like that it's really helpful for me with songwriting and just keeping things fresh and interesting. And I mean, of course it doesn't sound like an old song. No one would know that, but
I kind of feel like it does. And I also was thinking in my head, I'm going to play this on the radio when I have access to it.
There's like a subliminal message underneath it.
A little bit. Well, maybe just because we're radio DJs. Yeah.
We'll channel your grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's very sweet. And also, I do feel like your music has kind of an old sound, especially when you were trying to define it and we were reading your musical influences. There's kind of a mixture of new and old and a bunch of different, you know, genres or inspirations behind it. But I think it's kind of interesting how your music can be really new and relevant to, you know, messaging that can be interpreted as something about like a big city or something that's happening in the modern day, but also resonate with like older themes and sound like it would fit in perfectly with a set that's all stuff from the 60s and stuff like that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So since I grew up in LA and I've been interested in folk music for a long time, I've been, you know, interested in the Laurel Canyon scene and things like that for as long as I can remember. And I feel like your music channels a lot of that beautiful singer-songwriter stuff that came out at that time. Do you feel sort of like generational inspiration now being in LA? Any of that Southern California?
I think that that is bound to happen. You know, I feel like I don't really think of my music as like as a retro or something, but I can see why people do, and I think like my voice specifically like has that affect, I guess. But yeah, I mean I'm totally inspired by it, but I wouldn't say that that's like my mission. Like there's so many bands in LA that really feel like they're consciously trying to make 70s music, yeah. You know, and I feel like I would say I'm sort of like turning a corner where I'm like actively against making 70s music, but I'm obviously inspired by it, but it's just not really I'm not like trying to be a 70s musician, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It just informs.
Yeah, it informs it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, your music doesn't sound to me like you're trying to be a 70s.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm talking to the world at large. I'm not talking. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, I think also that's the nice thing about, I don't know, just genre bending, because it could fit into so many different I'm just thinking as a radio DJ, it fit in so many different playlists, and I don't know, I play your music pretty frequently, and it works with so many different types of musicians and like sounds that they're cultivating. So I think unintentionally maybe it fits, yeah. Like it checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah, I think I like kind of get this claustrophobic feeling if I stick to one thing, or it just starts feeling really inauthentic. You know, I think I like to just kind of like force myself out of whatever I've like started creating, because that's what surprises me and keeps things interesting and makes me feel more connected to the music, you know, rather than like, oh, I'm this kind of person that makes this kind of music and that's my thing. Like, I think I would feel, I would start forgetting who I was. And yeah, so I like to just kind of twisted.
What is your image for your new album that's coming out? Or I don't know if you're working on a whole record or album, but I know you played a few new songs tonight. This is for context right after your set. So yeah, I mean, do you have like a direction that you feel like you're going with that, that's maybe something new for you musically?
Yeah,
or just evolved.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm in that really fun stage where like I'm building like a landscape around it, and getting really excited by the fantasy. And I think, you know, Bjork said this where she was talking about like building a record, and that she kind of, before she makes the music, she thinks of the feeling that she wants to evoke, and then like from there kind of like pieces it together. And I think that's a really amazing way to build a piece of work, and it creates more abstraction with it. So I'm in that kind of daydream part that's very fun to be in for me, and I think is work, is like the hard work. And like then the songs come, but I really like to be in the environment for a long time. So yeah, I'm really inspired by Nebraska right now, where my mom's from, and mother-daughter relationships and generational inheritance of, you know, for better or worse, we are the stories that we've been told that we are, but at the same time, we're also forging our own myth. And yeah, that's what I've just sort of been playing with.
That's a really exciting list. That's very intriguing. Makes me excited. Do you see your process changing as you sort of try and explore different regions within your own musicality?
You know, I don't know. I don't think the process changes, but I think trusting myself with the process change. Maybe that's the biggest change, is that I just kind of am more going for the instinct rather than what I think a songwriter should write about. And, you know, I think with Centrifix, I'm so proud of it, but at the same time, I can now, in retrospect, see where I kind of was thinking that that would make me better, and it ended up, for me, in retrospect, kind of like falling a little far, more far away from who I am than I presented myself to be, I guess. I mean, but I think, you know, who knows, maybe in a year from now I won't think that at all. I think the album changes meaning as you grow away from it, in a way, or it takes a different shape. Yeah. I can really hear a lot of things.
It adds to it.
Yeah.
But I understand that. It's kind of what you were saying about the distance that comes between like writing a song and releasing an album.
Yeah.
And also just continuous growth as an artist and figuring out where you consciously want to take your music. Mm-hmm. But I also really love the themes that you're talking about, and kind of how your family structure, or like the idea of motherhood, I think how that informs your music, because I think both of those in different aspects of life are just things that so many people resonate with. Mm-hmm. And so expressing that, whatever feels right to you as an artist, I'm sure is something that people are going to be drawn to.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like my favorite authors or something. It's like the people that reveal the things that they're the scaredest of to talk about, you instantly feel like you are in on the secret. And I love music. You know, I feel like Lucinda Williams is such an amazing songwriter for that exact reason. You know, or we were listening to Angel Olsen. She's another amazing example of someone who really welcomes you in on their, you know, shame or their, whatever they're thinking about. And all of a sudden you feel like you have a friend, you know. And I don't really like music that makes you feel the opposite of that. And I think that that happens a lot. I mean, you know, everyone listens to music for different reasons, but that's, I definitely go to music or to art or to, you know, writing for solace and for remembering something.
Yeah, totally. I feel like I was betrayed when I, you know who wrote this, what's the original of that Karen Dalton song where she's like, knowing that I lied straight face.
Oh yeah, Tim Harden.
Yeah, I hated that a man wrote that. I was like, no, Karen Dalton had to have written this.
Song.
Yeah, because it's vulnerable. I mean, it's understandable. Yeah. I'm sure he meant something that was hard for him when he wrote that.
Yeah.
But I just felt like I so, like, sometimes resonate with lyrics, and I kind of guess I project onto what I think the artist is saying, or I, like, project it onto my own life, and I'm like, this is how I would.
Yeah. I mean, women cheat, too.
So. No, that's true. Yeah, I just thought that it was like a, I don't know, I just love songs that, like, really resonate some way or another, and then you interpret it whatever is most relevant to your life, and you're like, this was written for me.
I mean, and that's kind of what I mean by we are creating our own myth. You know, we're forging our own myth through the stories that we're hearing. You know, like the stories that my mom told me about her family or her or me even, I'm cherry picking the things that I want to hear in a way and projecting them into my life and then fulfilling that. So it's, I think that, you know, songwriting is storytelling in that exact way, is that we interpret it the way that we want to, and then that builds the entire narrative and the meaning, whereas the writer could have been talking about something totally different. Usually it's not totally different, but, you know, they have, like, an avenue.
Going back to the beginning of our conversation, I think that's a beautiful definition for folk music. I have a question that's a little unrelated, but I wanted to bring it up after seeing you tonight. We were both very captivated by your stage presence. I think you have a stage presence that is like what we are talking about. It's very inviting and like makes you feel like you have a friend. Did it take you a long time to cultivate feeling comfortable? Well, I'm assuming that you even feel comfortable on stage, but
yeah, I mean, I'm always surprised. I'm so glad that you feel that way, but I think, you know, I really struggled with coming into myself and very cripplingly shy, and that's kind of why I always think of myself as a late bloomer. But I think on stage and now in my day-to-day life as I've gotten older, it's a lot about, again, trusting yourself. And when I go on stage, I don't have, you know, a thing that I like to say or anything. I really just say actually like a little prayer. And I'm just like, okay, it's not in my hands anymore. You know, it's just like whatever's going to happen. Like, and I ask kind of for help. I'm like, just be with me, whoever you are, you know, or wherever you are. And like, I just want to be held, you know. And usually it works, you know. And I have these moments of real fear when I'm on stage and I forget my lyrics or something. And then, you know, it always kind of catches me, and I think that's a sense of trust and a sense of also self-compassion and love for yourself. Ultimately, you know, it's like there's a great feeling where in the middle of a set I can feel like I could say anything and people would get me, you know, or get that I'm not, you know, I don't know, that I can explore whatever comes to mind and people will laugh or something. You know, when that happens, I feel like I'm doing something that feels good. Do you know Does that make sense?
Yeah. Kind of. That's a great answer.
Okay. Yeah. Also, there's that kind of added layer of the audience knows that you're like putting on a performance, yeah. like you are in front of people and you are acting a little yeah. bit. But then on the other hand, it's kind of nice to have those vulnerable moments from like someone whose music you look up to and you kind of are going to the show because you want to see what they're like as a person and see how that translates to their, mm-hmm. you know, live performance. And so to see someone kind of be like, let me, wait, give me a minute, or yeah. like, and then sing a great song is like, oh, I do that too yeah. in yeah. the shower.
I mean, I think I'm pretty lucky where part of the reason why songwriting just works for me so well is I've always been like horribly vulnerable, you know, and just I've always been like that since I was a very little girl, and just really shared very deep, shameful things to anyone, you know. I mean, not in like, hopefully not in like an oversharing kind of way, but definitely like freaking people out a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that I've found an avenue for me to be able to do that in a way. So, yeah.
Yeah, be blunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were standing right next to your dad and your friends today.
God, yeah. Your dad was smiling so big at one point, and it was very, very sweet.
It was very sweet. How does it feel to be performing in a place near where you're from and to, like, to close people? I imagine that's can be maybe harder than performing yeah, for strangers.
Totally. I think definitely for me, I think the anonymity really helps usually, and it makes me feel more free and like really I can say whatever the hell I want and I can talk about my family even, you know. But it's weird having lots of different worlds colliding. My parents and my friends from high school and my friends from college, and it's like feels so wrong. It just feels so weird. But it's also really beautiful, and I try to just go with it. But it's a little nerve-wracking. I would say like when I don't know anyone more than when I know lots of people in the room.
That's how it is with a radio show. Like sometimes yeah. someone will tell me they listened, and I'm like, oh, you're like, no, oh, you know so like much about me.
Well, yeah, I mean that's like the classic thing is like. Like you're filtering everything through someone else, you know, and it doesn't really like who you are doesn't work that way, because it gets very messy very quickly when you start doing that. You're like, oh, that person doesn't know that side of me, or that person, you know, I know that they are really judgmental about that one kind of thing, or yeah. like I know this person really doesn't like that chord or whatever. You know, I don't think anyone would ever say that, but, you know, like you start really getting kind of like nuts about the my boyfriend always calls it like I have my panel of judges, and it's an interesting thought. You know,
yeah, it's just easier to feel like you're talking into a void.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I was thinking about ways that you maybe have a creative interest or like creative fulfillment that's not necessarily related to songwriting, whether it's something that you show less of to other people or something else that you're interested in that people who like your music just might not know about you. We were just wondering like other things that fulfill you, maybe hobbies, or maybe yeah, I don't know, you totally. Mentioned like favorite authors yeah. and stuff.
I
like
mean,
that
yeah, I love writing. I used to paint a lot. I don't paint as much anymore, and I love cooking has been like a huge, I think it can be really creative. I mean, it can also really not be, but I have this friend, and he's a playwright, and I remember asking, okay, like, tell me what to read, like, what plays should I read, because I felt like such a, like, plebeian. I was just like, I don't know anything, so just tell me, you know, and he was like, well, I don't read plays. I'm inspired by all these different other things, and it was just the perfect answer, because it was just kind of how I view music. You know, I'm not like the hugest music listener. I like what I like, and I love lots of different kinds of music. But you know, I'm not like reading like Pitchfork every week and like, or like really investigating. And I'm open to new things, but I think, you know, inspiration and creativity, it comes from different outlets. I think if you're focusing so much on music, all you're thinking about music, for me at least, it gets very small really quickly, and you kind of need to break it up. And that's why I started painting to begin with, was because I couldn't I couldn't like deal with my with music for a while, and it was just too kind of painful for me to go there. So I needed something to do, and it really helped me. And then I eventually came back to music.
That's sort of refreshing to hear. I feel like a lot of times when not to be like, oh, all artists say this thing, but a lot of times it can sort of be a competition for most niche influences.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've given that up way long ago. I was like, I'm never going to be the person in the room that knows the most about so-and-so, you know.
There's just infinite books, infinite albums, infinite
it's so
every plays, you know. Yeah, you just can't be expected to read all of them, let alone five basic ones that everyone should know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just you like what you like or you
and
don't.
And it's like, that's just like a cultural value, and it's, I don't know. I mean, I struggle with this too, but I think that there's a lot to say with being like an amateur, you know, or being very innocent around the thing that you're interested in. I think my dream would be, I always fantasize about painting again, and I think one day I'll make an album kind of focused on that, or like in tandem with painting. And it's just, I think it's good to have lots of different things that keep you afloat rather than just this one thing.
That's beautiful. I feel like we've exhausted you of questions here.
I feel like I was just, there was a lot of half answers. I hope that you can cobble together something.
No,
thank you.
You're great.
It was perfect. Do you have any goals beyond what you've already shared with us that you want to put out into the world?
Oh, yes. Oh, God. Well, I think goals are really helpful for me, but I think, you know, I was talking about this with my friend today in the car, I kind of want to stop squeezing so much. I want to stop squeezing, and I want to start drinking more, not like alcohol, that's not what I mean, but just, you know, enriching myself. And I think the music business and the industry is extremely toxic. It's freaking insane, and it's been kind of a whirlwind, and I'm so grateful for it. It makes me feel like I'm engaged in my life, but it's also just not real. It's not real. And it's just, you know, the one thing that I know is that I really love writing songs, and everything else will fall into place. And to just, you know, that's what I want to put out into the world, is like trust in whatever happens, happens. And I have lots of goals, but goals, you know, what do they say about plans? Like, God laughs at your plans or something. There's like a great saying.
Yeah, that's understood. Well, we loved your show. We wrote that we were excited for your show, but we wrote this before we saw you perform, and we loved it. I think I speak for both of us.
We really did. And that was a really beautiful way to end. I feel like I said that about so many answers. It's just so beautiful, but it really was a beautiful way to end.
You should really write lyrics. You're very well spoken. And one last thing, we have artists say the station ID, which is KZSC.
KZSC.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Marina Allen, and you're listening to KZSC Santa Cruz.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Marina.